Welcome to Torah Mecha Nachiomi with the OU Women's Yiddish Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Sefer Yeshayahu, Perek 24. We are now beginning a new section of Yeshayahu. From Prakim 1 to 12, Yeshayahu spoke about an arc of sin, exile, and redemption, globally and then as it relates to the story of Chizkiyahu and Sancheriv. Next, Prakim 13 to 23 were the Masa'os, harsh nevuos about the nations in the region. The last Masa discussed the downfall of Tzor, who was a wealthy island state that focused on growing its material wealth no matter what the cost to others and themselves. This parak begins a series of four prakim that talk about the entire Gullus experience and the ultimate Geula through song. This parak is challenging to explain. Because of its ambiguity, different Mefarshim interpret it very differently. The first 13 psukim talk about the destruction of someone's land, and the end psukim discuss the destruction of the nations at the end of days. Whose land is being destroyed and when it's happening is a matter of debate. We will explain the parak according to the opinions of Rashi and Radak. Rashi interprets the first half of the parak as talking about the Jewish experience in Gullus. There are some commentators who specifically identify the time of this parak to the exile of the 10 tribes. Rashi feels the parak describes a different time, perhaps closer to the time of Mashiach. His reason is that the end of the parak has a consolation from the time of Mashiach, which describes the punishment of the other nations. So first, we need to learn about the devastation that precedes the positive time. The Radak, in contrast, interprets the initial psukim to mean that Hashem is punishing the nations of the world for their cruelty to the Jewish people, and the end of the parak follows that same theme. On an interesting note, similar to the approach of the Radak, Rav Schwab explains this parak as a description of the aftermath of a nuclear war, which just points out to us how much we don't know the true meaning of the allegories and poetry of Yeshayah and won't know it until Mashiach. One important feature of this parak that must be noted is its remarkable poetic language. Try reading the parak without translating. The alliteration, the rhythm, and the word choice conveys a message, even if you can't understand the Hebrew, which is particularly challenging in this parak. The parak begins, Pasuk 1, Hine Hashem bokeh ka'aretz uvolka. Behold, Hashem empties the earth and lays it waste. This pasuk is talking about how a land has all of its inhabitants exiled. According to Rashi, this is speaking about the Jewish people. According to the Radak, the non-Jews are the ones being exiled. The exile and devastation will cause a change in societal structure. Most societies have strong class divisions and clear hierarchies in spiritual and financial and class matters. When there is a war, this is social structure flattens. Pasuk 2. V'haya ha'am ka'kohen, the regular person is going to be like the priest. Ka'eved ka'adonav, the slave is going to be comparable to his master. Ka'shivcha ka'kvirta, the maid is going to be like her mistress. Kamocher kakone, the buyer is like the seller. Kamalave kalove, the lender is like the borrower. Kanoshe kasher noshebo, the creditor and the debtor are also similar to each other. The victors do not care about who used to be rich and who used to be poor. Everyone is only as good as their service to their new master. Yeshayahu has a pattern to his nevuos. He sometimes will state an idea, state another idea, and then circle back to the first idea, adding more depth to it. In this case, Yeshayahu in Pasuk 3 repeats the ideas from the first Pasuk that says that the land will be emptied. Hibok ha'aretz. The land will be empty, very empty. Hibos, and really plundered. Yeshayahu repeats the ideas from the first Pasuk to teach a lesson. Although generally, a negative nevuah can be rescinded, this is not the case here, says Yeshayahu. Ki Hashem diberes hadavar hazeh. Hashem has spoken this thing. As we have said before, only the plans of Hashem are absolute, while man's plans have no permanence. After Yeshayahu describes what will happen, that the land will be destroyed, he now describes how the land will be destroyed. Rav Schwab discusses an important idea when explaining this parak. What the earth produces reflects the spiritual level of the people living on that land, whether they are Jewish or not. The land is called Adama, which is derived from the word Adam, man. Adam impacts and influences what the Adama will be like. When mankind is moral, the earth will be the most productive. When mankind acts with evil intent, the land reflects the greed and does not act kindly to the people living there as well. This relationship between man and the earth is even more pronounced in the land of Israel. The land of Israel was chosen by Hashem to be a place of holiness. It cannot abide a lack of holiness. It spews out anyone who does not conform to its ideals. The Jewish nation was also chosen by Hashem, and so it is they that are meant to elevate this land to its greatest levels. When the Jews do not fulfill their mission, by necessity, the land rejects them. The Mishpat Sosahav explains that this idea creates a relationship between Jews and non-Jews. The nations of the world are influenced by the behavior of the Jewish people. When the Jewish people act morally, the nations learn and act likewise. As a result, the land all over the globe produces what mankind needs with generosity. When the Jewish people lower their standards, this influences the rest of the world to drop theirs. The land, impacted both by the Jews and the non-Jews, withholds what it is meant to produce as a punishment. This is what is happening now. Pasuk 4, Avla Navla Haaretz. The earth is destroyed and faded away. Pasuk 5, V'ha'aretz chanfa tachas yoshveha, and the land has deceived because of its inhabitants. Rashi explains that where there should be grass, none grows. Where there should be grain, plants sprout up, but they don't have kernels and are not usable for food. Why is the earth not producing what it should? Why is it switching what it produces for other vegetation? Yeshayahu says man is responsible for this because of his sins. Ki avru saros, because they have transgressed laws. Chofu chok heferu bris olam. They violated the statutes and broken the everlasting covenant. The people have switched what they do, which is correct, to that which is wrong, so the earth pays them back and does the same to them. The Mitzvah David explains that the Jewish people abandoned the Torah, Shabbat Peh, and the Torah Shbechsav, as well as the statutes and covenants of the Torah, so the land on which they are living rebels against them. The Radak, who interprets the Pesukim as referring to the non-Jewish nations, says there are also laws which all the nations have to keep. In specific, the law being referred to in this parak is that the nations should not torture the Jewish people when Hashem allows them to rule over the Jewish people. In addition, there is a bris, a covenant, between family, that family doesn't hurt each other. Yishmael and Edom violate this bris with their treatment of their cousins. As a result, the earth will be destroyed. Pasuk 6. Allah achla eretz. A curse destroys the earth. V'yashmu yoshvei va. And its inhabitants are wasted. Rashi and Radak both explain this pasuk as giving another reason for the severity of the punishment of the land. When people, whether Jews as Rashi explains, or non-Jews as the Radak explains, swear falsely in the name of Hashem, the punishment is extreme, and the people are guilty of bringing this curse onto themselves. As a result of this curse, Nishar Enosh Mizar, very few people are going to be left living there. Can you imagine living in a post-apocalyptic wasteland? What would your mood be? The destruction of the land has a cascading effect. When the land is punished, it does not produce vegetables or grapes to make wine. When there is no wine which helps people forget about their troubles, all that is left is the sadness and emptiness they feel. And so, Pasuk 7, Nenchu kol simche lev, all the merry-hearted sigh. People will be too depressed to play the merry tupim drums. There will be no more loud noise, alizim, revelers of the joy of the kinor, the harp. There are no more songs and no more happiness. Instead, what is left is bitter people. When the people do find some wine, they don't use it to party or celebrate. Instead, they drown out their sorrows of their sad lives. When they look around, there's destruction everywhere. The cities are broken down and the homes are boarded up. No one goes in and out and walks the streets strolling without concern. Instead, the people who are out and about are roaming the streets despondently. They have a desperate need to dull their pain, but they don't have anything to numb it with. So, Pasuk 11, Tzvacha al hayayin b'chutzos. They are in the streets crying about the wine. They scream, give me wine, because they want to forget their troubles, but they have nothing. Instead, arva kol simcha. All their joy is darkened. The Malbim explains that their inner joy has been extinguished, and as a result, gala misos haaretz. The gladness of the land is gone. The external manifestations of joy, the party and laughter, are no more because there is no more internal feelings of joy. All that is left is, Pasuk 12, Listen for the alliteration. Nishar ba'ir shama ushia yukas sha'ar. In the city is left desolation, and the gate is struck until ruin. The alliteration of the pasuk shh exemplifies what is there. There was only loneliness, destruction, and desolation in the places like the gates where people used to gather and party. There will only be a few people, whether it is the Jews after the exile, according to Rashi, or the nations of the world, according to the Radak, who survived this breaking. Yeshayahu uses a mashal we have seen a few times before and compares these people to olives that have escaped the harvest in an olive grove. The next two psukim, psukim 14 and 15, have a change of focus and discusses the survivors of this catastrophe. Rashi and Radak both explain that this pasuk is talking about the Jewish people. They are so happy to have survived galus that they are singing and praising Hashem for their salvation. The pasuk uses a strange phrase. They are so happy that Bigon Hashem Tzahalu Miyam. They exult in Hashem's majesty more than at the sea. The people who survived have survived one of the hardest times in human history. They have survived the times of Gog and Magog. Their clarity and gratitude causes them to sing praises to Hashem that are even more powerful than the praises sung at the Yam Suf. The salvation will be so great that people all over the world will recognize Hashem, Pasuk 15, Ba'urim Kabdu Hashem, Urim, which Rashi and Radak translates as locations in the valley, will honor Hashem, and they will also do so Be'iyei Hayam, in the islands of the sea. Pasuk 16 interrupts with a new nevuah that Yeshayahu has just received, breaking news, Miknaf Ha'aretz Zimiro Shamanu. Yeshayahu reports that he hears a song from the end of the earth. The song is saying, Tzvi L'tzadik, that there will be glory and reward for the righteous. Rashi explains that Yeshayahu is hearing this song emanating from a location described as the ends of the earth from where Nevuah emanates, the Beis HaMikdash. He is hearing this message emanating from the Beis HaMikdash that in the future, the tzaddikim will be rewarded. Alternatively, Rashi says that the message is coming me'acharei ha'pargod, from beyond the heavenly curtain, revealing to him truths that are only known in heaven. The truth is that the tzaddikim will be rewarded at the end of days. Yeshayahu hears this promise for the future, but it's hard for him to hear. He hears a secret about the end of days and cries out, Razili, Razili, Oili. And I said, I have a secret, woe is me. Hashem has revealed to Yeshayahu the secrets of Geula, but he learns simultaneously that this will only come after a long and bitter galus, where Bogdim Bagadu, Uveged Bogdim Bagadu. The treacherous deal treacherously, the treacherous deal very treacherously. The world will not be kind to the Jewish people. Rashi says the repetition of the Shorash Beis Gimel Dalid hints to the five kingdoms will enslave the Jews, Bavel, Media, Persia, Greece, and Edom. Knowing this information causes Yeshayahu deep grief, as he knows how much we will suffer through this process until we can merit redemption. With this understanding that the galus will be long and hard, Yeshayahu offers some reassurance as to what will happen to the other nations at the end of days. They will have, Pasuk 17, Pachad v'pachas v'pach, Alecha yoshev ha'aretz, terror and the pit and the trap upon you dwellers of the land. Those who are cruel will themselves face terror. If they try to escape, Pasuk 18, V'haya hanas mikol ha-pachad, yipol el ha-pachas. The one who runs from the sound of terror will fall into the pit. Rashi says that the nations will try to escape from Hashem, but they will be captured by his messenger, Mashiach ben Yosef. V'ha'ola mitoch ha-pachas yilached ba-pach. And the one who escapes from the pit, meaning Mashiach ben Yosef, will fall into the hands of the trap of Mashiach ben David. They will not escape, because when the time comes, ki arubos mimarom niftachu, the heavens will open up. It will be as if the windows of the heaven will open up to pour down on our enemies' many troubles. What Hashem sends will defeat even the strongest among the nations. Yeshayahu continues to describe the stages of destruction for these enemies. Pasuk 19. Ro'ah hisro'ah ha'aretz. The earth is breaking. Poor hisporara eretz, the earth is crumbling. Mot hismotata aretz, the earth is tottering. The intensity of the destruction keeps increasing until the land completely collapses. The psukim describe how the land moves and shakes like a drunk and will be blown around like a temporary shelter. The cause is not fault lines or bad building codes or overdue earthquakes. The problem with the land is that the people have sinned so grievously against the Jewish people that the earth cannot support any more evil that has been done for generation after generation. With all the sins, eventually, Pasuk 20, the Chavad Allah Pisha binafla velosa sifkum. Its sin shall weigh it down, and it should fall to rise never again. The punishment will finally be executed against the nations who deserve it. At the time of punishment, there is a process. First, Hashem punishes the angels in heaven, who represent the nation, v'haya b'yomahu, and it will be on that day, yifkod Hashem al tzva hamarom b'marom. Hashem will punish the host of high heaven on high, after which time Hashem will destroy the leadership of the nations on earth. The Malbim says the final judgment against the nations will culminate with the war of Gog u'Magog. Hashem will cause all the nations to gather around Yerushalayim for one final battle. They think this is their choice and that they will win this war, but really, their gathering around Yerushalayim is like Pasuk 22, V'usfu aseifa asir albor. They shall be gathered in a dungeon, as captives are gathered. This final gathering will give Hashem the opportunity to render one final judgment on them. V'sugru al masker, and they will be locked up in prison. The nations will descend to Gehenim for the sins they have done recently and over time, umerov yamim, for many days. The parak concludes with another enigmatic statement. It says that at this time, the chafra halivana uvosha hachama, the moon will be ashamed and the sun embarrassed. The Malbim explains that the status of the moon and the sun will be severely limited at the time of Yemos HaMashiach. People will realize that all the light in the world is from Hashem. There is no power or glory or independence for the sun and the moon. When Hashem rules over Tzion and Yerushalayim, he will shine his light on neged zekinav kavod, his elders to whom he will give honor. This parak had three sections. The first section discussed the destruction of the land and the exile of the people in it. We learned the opinions of Rashi, who said it is related to the Jewish people, and Radak, who said this was about the non-Jews. Next, the Navi discusses the songs of the tzaddikim in the future, and Yeshayahu's pain over the length and the harshness of the Geula process. Finally, the parak discusses the punishment of the nation and how the earth will no longer be able to support their evil doing. One of the lessons of this parak is that nature is a reflection of what is happening to humanity. When we hear about natural disasters, our response should be to reflect and think, how can we improve ourselves? The land, the adama, serves Adam, man. How we act impacts what happens to it. This awareness can shorten the Geulah process so that we can finally experience the Geulah promised in this parak. Thank you for learning together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.